T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hour number 3, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. So before the break, for the award-winning Trending Now.
Thank you, Dale.
We were discussing the changes in the Patriots coaching staff, which, let's be honest, doesn't have quite the same oomph as changes on the players on the Patriots roster.
Correct, but something's up. Something stinks. Something stinks for all these guys to bail, and they're not even all getting promotions.
Well, a bunch of them are leaving. 5 altogether so far.
Sick of Belichick.
Could be. When you look at the roster, those are the moves that I think fans get the most excited about. So Mike Reese, superb Patriots beat reporter for ESPN Boston and ESPN in general. What he does is he looks at the Patriots free agents in this offseason and assigns arbitrarily the odds of them returning to the team.
Ooh, we can bet on it.
You think we can bet on it?
Can we parlay a few of these?
I don't think Twin Rivers takes bets on whether
odds?
Steven Guskowski's coming back to the Patriots or not.
We'll see.
Although Mike Reese does say, by the way, the odds of him returning are 90%.
I'm talking about football.
90% on
Steven
Guskowski?
He says... But
let me ask you this. He won't be the highest paid kicker, will he?
I would doubt that.
Because he has been for a while, and he really... He's good. He's not great. So I would like to see that number come down.
That's
I have no problem bringing him back.
Because the Patriots made him the NFL's highest paid kicker in 2015.
Yeah.
This is Reese's information. Signed him to a 4-year, $17.2 million deal.
Yes.
As Reese points out, that contract has held up well over time relative to other kickers. He thinks a similar contract makes sense in this offseason.
Oh, my God. Doesn't that seem like a lot? I just don't want him to be the highest paid kicker. He's missing kicks in every Super Bowl. He's missing kicks in AFC Championship games. When he lines up for kick, I'm not feeling it like it's automatic. And I know Belichick has liked him. He's been here for a long time. He's able to kick the ball short when they want him to. He's able to kick it through the end zone if they want him to. He doesn't suck. Like, you see him miss a kick and you say, this guy's bothered. This guy's, you freak out. But he shouldn't be the highest paid kicker. And
he
four
wasn't.
More years?
He wasn't even close, by the way.
He was when he signed the deal.
But Reese's point is...
Who was paid higher than him?
This past year, he was the 9th highest paid kicker.
All right. Well, I feel a little bit better about that then.
The kickers who made more than him this past year.
Okay.
Nick Folk, Matt Prater, Adam Vinatieri, Robbie Gould, Josh Scobie, Mason Crosby, Matt Bryant, Sebastian Janikowski.
So not even Justin Tucker, who's the best kicker in the league. All right, interesting. Yeah, because if he's the 9th highest paid kicker next year, then I'm fine with that.
And Reese's point is, you know, a similar deal, somewhere in that ballpark.
I don't know if I want him for 4 more years, but these are football contracts, so you can always kind of rip
And he's
them
also
out.
A kicker.
Yeah, right.
I mean, we've got a kicker who's 72 years old, for crying out loud.
Well, I'd bring him back.
Yeah, I know. He made $10 million. He made twice as much as Guskowski last year.
Jesus.
He made $10 million. By the way, Sebastian Janikowski, I said, was the highest paid kicker. You want to take a wild guess?
Janikowski?
On what he made this past year?
Jeez. So you said Vinatieri made 10?
Yeah.
And so he made more? What did he make, 12?
Yeah. 33.
Dale, that can't be right.
I'm looking at the list here with the numbers. Matt Bryant made $18 million.
There's
Mason
no way
Crosby
this is right.
made $15
million. Is that
Josh Scobie made $14
million. Is that the entire contract? There's no way a kicker made $33 million. There's zero chance of that. What website are you looking at? Is this some blog? What's going on? There's zero chance he made $33 million. He may have made $33,000. They signed him and then he ripped his hamstring.
He was actually, if you're ready for this, he was the highest paid player in the NFL.
I don't believe any of this.
I think that's total.
I think I'm being punked.
I don't believe any of this.
I don't believe any of it. That's outrageous. That can't be true. I reject it. He's not the highest paid kicker.
My God.
Or player. He's not that either. He's not. Oops. I think we should just move on. I feel like that is wrong. We can look that up later.
So you guys give a percent. Guskowski back. Reese says 90.
I say he's probably back too. I don't want to go into any of these other guys, but I bet he is.
All right, so next up, and the one that I
we need to correct that, though. That is outrageous.
I'm just looking through this list here. But anyway, the next most important guy, and I'm not saying, by the way, that he's less important than Gostkowski. The next guy that Reese talks about is Trey Flowers. Now, Trey Flowers obviously is going to get a lot of attention out there. You think about the fact that Brian Flores is in Miami, Matt Patricia's in Detroit, guys who have coached him, guys who know him, guys who in all likelihood like him a lot. And yet, despite all that, you know what Mike Reese says the chances are that he returns?
What is it?
70%.
They're going to have to spend a lot of money on him, though, right? I mean, there's no way that he is going to come back cheap. And so the question is, do they want to pay him that kind of money? Because he seems like the classic perfect Patriot. Like, he's a guy that if he was on another team could probably have 15 sacks and, you know, be really primed to make a lot of money. Here, he's willing to give some of that up, but I think they love him. He loves being here. Has he ever done anything wrong? Like, ever? And so I think Trey Flowers, they would like to have him back. I just feel like another team is going to swoop in and offer him so much more that he's going to have to take that. He's going to have to do what's best for him and his family and just take the lot more money. So 70% is good, but it seems a little high to me.
I probably didn't realize, and probably should have, that Ryan Allen is also a free agent.
He had bring back. I like him.
Oh, a lot. And by the way, according to Reese, there's a 70% chance that he returns.
Yeah, that makes sense. Ryan Allen's been, I have zero problems with Ryan Allen. Like, Gostkowski has more kind of head-scratching, like, misses than Ryan Allen has, you know, shanked punts or anything like that. So he fits in good. Rossi, you have the updated stats here on these kicker numbers?
So last year, total cash made. The highest paid kicker was Graham Gano at $8 million and $50, oddly enough. Then it was Chris Boswell was $8 million. Ryan Succop, Cody Parkey, McManus, Crosby, Vinatieri, Bryant, and Steven Gostkowski with $3
million. That's how much he made total?
And that ranks total. Him where on the list?
Ninth.
So, yeah, but $8 million is the highest paid kicker.
Correct.
Okay. Not 33.
Okay.
18.
Okay.
Jason McCourty is a free agent. Now, there's questions about whether he's going to come back and play. He sounds like he wants to play, by the way.
Coming off a great year.
Question about whether Devin McCourty wants to play.
Yeah.
According to Mike Reese, there's only a 50-50 chance that Jason McCourty's back.
Well, I wonder if Jason wants to be back if Devin is gone. Because I still think Devin McCourty retires. If my prediction right now would be that he moves on. Jason, though, finally played in the playoffs for the first time. Had a really good year. Goes 3-0 in the playoffs. Wins his first Super Bowl. I think it seems like there's more left in the tank with Jason than I do with Devin. And I don't know what the other options would be for the Patriots. Like, would they feel like... What, Duke Dawson's going to be healthy and he's going to be your corner, or they're going to get another free agent? I think they would like to have Jason McCourty back. So I hope he is. Whether it's 50-50 or not, I would hope that he is.
John Simon, who many people didn't know was on the team for half the year.
Don't care.
You know, released by the Colts, picked up, actually had a pretty good Super Bowl.
He made a play.
He did.
Yeah.
Odds of returning, according to Mike Reese, is 60%.
Yeah, great.
For John Simon. Now here, we said Jason McCourty's 50-50, according to Reese. Here's another 50-50. Cordarrelle Patterson.
I wouldn't spend too much money on Patterson. I like that. He's a good kick return guy.
They do like special teams.
He's a running back in a pinch. You know, if Sonny Michel goes down, he can run between
he
the tackles.
He ran violently,
He did.
Too,
he had a couple of good runs. I don't think he's really much of a wide receiver, but you can run the end around with him. He's a kick returner. I don't think you need to overspend on a kick returner, though. So I wouldn't be all beat up if they didn't bring Cordarrelle Patterson back.
And then you've got Trent Brown, who did a really nice job filling in at left tackle after Isaiah Wynn went down for the season. By the way, they drafted Wynn in the first round, 23rd overall, I think with the idea that he was going to be their starting left tackle.
Yes.
Then he went on IR, done for the year. They bring in Trent Brown. That means, according to Reese, there's only a 25% chance that he comes back.
So my stance now on Trent Brown is see you later. I thought he was really good. I thought he did a nice job for this team. The offensive line was great as a group. Tom Brady really never got touched in the playoffs. But doesn't Trent Brown have the I'm in a contract year, so I'm going to play my ass off type of feel to him? And as soon as he cashes in, may not be as good, may not work as hard, may get out of shape. Listen, I've never met Trent Brown. That's just from the outside. Didn't he make a comment this year that he said he was going to win the lottery at the end of the year? Something like that?
Yeah, people were comparing it to the Isaiah Thomas Brinks truck.
Yeah, right. So Trent Brown said something like that.
Well, and think about this. I mean, Nate Solder signed a contract for $15 million a year in the last offseason.
Yeah. And he hit it at the right time. He was the best free agent tackle last year, even though I think around here we looked at him as good, not great, maybe even just above average for a while. He goes, and he was really bad earlier in the year, then he ended up being fine by the end of it. But Trent Brown, to me, I mean, the 49ers were willing to give up on him. He was good here. There's no doubt about it. But if you had to give money to Trent Brown or to Trey Flowers, isn't it pretty Trey Flowers? So I would say goodbye.
He's got Malcolm Brown, 25% chance of returning.
Yeah, let him go.
Chris Hogan, 20% chance of returning.
Yeah, I don't care either.
Philip Dorsett, 20% chance of returning.
I kind of like Philip Dorsett.
Of the two, I'd rather keep Hogan.
No way. Really?
Yeah.
No way.
I've seen him make so many clutch catches.
Oh,
and,
pass.
He seems to have, Brady seems to have such confidence in him.
He didn't throw to him all season.
I'm just saying.
He never even looked his way. He was wide open a bunch of times, and he never threw to him. I think Philip Dorsett, there's something there with him. First couple of games of the year, he threw to him a bunch, and it was good. Then they got Josh Gordon. They never went to Dorsett. Then all of a sudden, he was back, and he was catching touchdowns in the playoffs. Not in the Super Bowl. They didn't need to go to him in the Super Bowl, but neither with Hogan. I think Dorsett is a much better player. I would definitely prefer him.
And at the bottom of his list with only a 15% chance of returning is Danny Shelton.
I'll make it zero. Make it zero. You want Danny Shelton back? That was a bust.
But he's got, you know, in Guskowski's case, he says a 90% chance of coming back. Ryan Allen, 70%. I was surprised he was as positive, as gung-ho on the return of Trey Flowers. Many of us thought, well, Trey Flowers is going to cash in big time. He's got to be out of here.
I think he is.
You know what I think part of this, of Reese's feeling is? I think Trey Flowers really likes it here.
Yeah, I think so.
I think he likes the atmosphere. He likes the culture.
He likes talking to us every week.
Well, I'm not sure that we have a huge part of his decision-making
process.
He
usually has a smile on his face when we talk to him. I would say that's on there.
But if that's true,
yeah.
If you've got a 70% chance of keeping Trey Flowers here, that's a win for your offseason.
So there's a list of, what is this, about 10, 12 players or whatever. To me, it's not even close. I mean, Trey Flowers is far and away the most important guy. To me, the second most important is probably Jason McCourty. Like, you want to be good at that position. You already have a number one corner. He proved that he could be a number two corner. So I think those are far and away the two guys that I would want back the most. Everybody else, I mean, Ryan Allen, sure, he's a good punter. Guskowski, fine. But everybody else is very replaceable. Like, I have no problem with the other guys leaving. This is, if they can bring back Trey Flowers, we're not going to be having the same conversations as last year where you said, all right, you're moving on from Deion Lewis and Brandon Cooks and Nate Solder and Danny Amendola and Malcolm Butler. Like, they lost a lot of key guys a year ago. Now, didn't matter. They ended up being better and they won the Super Bowl. But this year, it's not exactly a star-studded free agent class.
Here are the other unrestricted free agents who aren't necessarily given a percentage chance by Mike Reese of returning or not. Jeremy Hill is an unrestricted free agent.
I think he comes back. They talked about him all year. Like, yep. Even Brady would mention Jeremy Hill. So I think he's back, and I think that'd be helpful because short yardage was still not their best thing. So I hope they do bring Jeremy Hill back.
Adrian Waddle, John Ulrich, both on the offensive line, are unrestricted free agents. Eric Rowe.
Yeah, kind of a wild card on IR all season. I could take or leave Eric Rowe.
The final two, Ramon Humber and Albert McClellan.
Yeah, take him or leave him, really, with those guys. They brought back Brian Schwenke, Dale. I know you were excited about the Schwenke signing.
Pretty excited, yeah.
So he's back in there. But so, yeah, they got a pretty interesting offseason because, to me, you got to find out, is Gronk and Devin McCourty back or not? Are those guys retiring? Because that's also a big part of it. It's not, I don't think they're going to go sign somewhere else. It's either they're back or they both say, hey, I had a great career and I'll see you later. Because now you're talking about two big losses, you know, replacing a new starting tight end, getting a new free safety. That's going to be really where the offseason gets going.
Who's going to be the player who Belichick lets go and is going to drive Patriots fans crazy? It would be Trey Flowers, by the way. If Reese is wrong and the 70% chance of him returning doesn't come true and he goes somewhere else, that'll be the first one where fans are going to go, are you nuts, Bill? How do you let that guy get away?
Well, it'll probably be like he'll cut Dante Hightower. It's going to be something crazy. It's always something weird, too, right? There's usually like a guy either he trades or cuts that you're not prepared for. So it's even somebody that's under contract. Because don't you think they could ask Dante Hightower to take a pay cut? And then what if he says no? He might be gone.
That'll depend on how much the pay cut is, obviously.
True. Right. But, like, you know, they've asked Danny Amendola to take a bunch of pay cuts. He did for a while.
He's available, by the way.
Yeah, he is. Sounds like he's going to go to the Jets, right? He's going to go team up with Adam Gase again. But, no, I mean, it's going to be a pretty... I mean, the draft, I think, is going to be fascinating for them to see what direction they go in. And then some of their own free agents. And then they're already, you know, way under the cap, aren't they? And so maybe they make a couple guys take pay cuts. And then maybe they still have an opportunity to go out there. And if they really identify somebody, maybe make a splash.
I'll be curious to see how this is. And the way it'll be played by Belichick is the way he's played it every single offseason here. He places a value on a player. Half the time, fans don't agree with it. You know, Stephon Gilmore. You gave Stephon Gilmore how much? Then you watched him play this year and went, okay.
Very good.
Right, I sort of see.
Very good point. Yep.
Or you let that guy walk? You let Nate Solder get away? Yeah, they had a hard time filling that spot, didn't they?
They did okay.
They drafted a guy to fill the spot. He got hurt. Then they went and signed a guy to fill that spot.
And that makes me feel like they could replace that again. I was a little worried about it this year. I said, really? Brady's had two left tackles his entire career. And so now you're going to add another one to it. How's this going to look? And they didn't really miss a beat. He was really good. They were able to run the ball. They were able to get good pass protection. So I think you can replace him. And probably with the guy that you just drafted. I know that's asking a lot, a guy coming off of an injury, but they drafted him that high for a reason.
617-779-7937. Joey's in Worcester. Hey, Joey.
Hey, you guys. How you doing?
Good. What's going on?
Not much. Just want to bring up a couple, get your thoughts on something. There's no doubt that Trey Flowers is the biggest one that we got to retain. And I definitely think we should take care of our players before we go out and get other ones. If we do lose Trey Flowers, luckily there is a pretty deep defensive class this year. But I want to get your thoughts on something. You know, after last year's Super Bowl, it's like, all right, we got to do something about this defense. You know, we just got a 41 points to Nick Foles, and we didn't really do anything. And they let up, and they held them to three this year. So now it's like, all right, our defense is good, but now that we lost Josh Gordon, we're probably not going to be able to get Antonio Brown because Pittsburgh probably isn't that dumb to trade him to us. What do you guys think about, like, A.J. Green is on where, you know, a year left on his contract, maybe in a rebuilding stage where, you know, probably seen enough of Andy Dalton and A.J. Green in Cincinnati. Do you think they're, like, rebuilding and we could swoop in for a trade for A.J. or something?
I mean, I would love it. I mean, you don't have to. Any single big-time receiver, I would take. I would absolutely take.
And how much confidence do you have in Bill Belichick and his staff coming up with a good wide receiver option?
Not in the draft, but...
Yeah.
But guys that are available or guys that you could trade for, I mean, much more confidence, right? Like they found Randy Moss. They took a chance after he was kind of struggling there in Oakland and they made that work. They've had other guys that have been in the league. You can't get them too old. It can't be Reggie Wayne, Torrey Holt. It's got to be somebody.
That didn't work out so well.
No. It's got to be closer to 28, 30, not 32, 34, whatever. They proved this year that they don't need that guy, but I think it is different next year. Because I don't think Gronk's
Brady's got a pretty bare cupboard here right now.
Bare cupboard, and I don't think Gronk's going to be back. And so even though he wasn't the same playmaker that he was a year ago, there was always that threat. Defenses had to prepare for him. And right now, you have a nice running game, and you have Edelman. So whatever big-time receiver you can think of, I'm a yes on.
I have to admit, I was with you. There was no way I thought that Rob Gronkowski was going to come back. I've softened a little bit.
Have you really?
I mean, I'm...
Based on something?
Just the joy he had at the end of the season, the enjoyment he was having. Now, the question is, will he take a haircut on the contract to stay here?
Yeah.
And if so, how much? We all thought it was a given that he was just going to walk. That's it. He's not going to play for anybody else. He's just going to step away. I think he really... His passion for the game seemed rekindled. Now, part of that is he felt good.
I think
at the end of the year,
he felt a little bit better. They were winning, and then they won. So just like we talked about, right after they lost to the Eagles, he was all down on the dumps. But of course you are. You just lost the Super Bowl.
Talk to him right after that. He's probably not going to give you a good answer.
But then on the other side of it, just after a Super Bowl win, of course you're feeling great. And I thought some of the rejuvenation that we saw the last couple of weeks and then the entire playoff run was him knowing that this is probably it, and I'm going to enjoy the hell out of this. And oh, by the way, you know, him and Tom Brady, and he could be another one of these guys that the last game he plays in is a Super Bowl win. I think some of that is pretty appealing to him.
How much do we think Brady lobbies for him to come on, give me one more. Just give me one more.
I bet a lot.
A lot.
I bet a lot. And I don't think that's really the greatest thing, to be honest. I think in that sport, with the kind of abuse that these guys have taken, I was talking about last week when you weren't here, I was bringing up the analogy. It'd be like if you were really good friends with Roy Jones Jr. and you're like, hey, one more fight. Come on, one more fight. I love seeing you in the ring. And you're like, well, okay, but what could happen over that fight, or for a football player over the course of another season? Does he end up having another surgery or any of that? So I think he makes it very clear, like, I would love to have you back, but you need to make this decision. This is completely, you know, on you.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
No need to check the time, as it's...
We have noon 30.
Noon 30?
It's noon 30.
It's going to be the Wild West at noon 30. Dale's already warmed up to noon 30.
No, I haven't.
You just said noon 30.
Call that what you call it for crying.
It's noon 30 with Dale and Keith.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Today was the first official workout day for the Boston Red Sox down at... JetBlue Park in Fort Myers.
Tis the season.
Dave Dombrowski, the president of baseball operations, met with the media, kind of his annual state of the team address. Now, again, you're talking about the defending World Series champions, bringing back a fair chunk of
the roster.
Pretty
good team. Pretty good team they got.
I think the latest Vegas odds I saw had them the second favorite to win the World Series, to recapture the World Series.
Should we bet on it?
Will you stop, Rossi, for God's sakes?
How much do you want to sprinkle on them winning the World Series again?
So there are a couple of question marks here.
All right.
One, now Dave Dombrowski, now I'm paraphrasing Dave Dombrowski.
All right.
Said that they are hopeful Dustin Pedroia can play 120 to 125 games this year.
Well, you know what they say, Dale. You can hope in one hand and the other.
Yeah.
That's what I would say.
I mean, I would assume this isn't just wishful thinking on his part. I would assume he's basing this on
the medical and
reports and rehab reports and all that stuff. That seems optimistic to me.
I would hope so. So last year was really, of course, a lost season. He ended up playing in three games. Remember they activated him. It felt like they were almost rushing him. Like, based on everything we knew, we're like, what are you doing?
Especially when we saw how he looked after it.
Right. Then that was done. The year before that, he played in 105 games. 2016, he had a really good year. He played in 154. The year before that, he played in 93. But obviously, the 154 since then, he's been dealing with the knee injury. So if he's talking about 125 games, he's done that once in the last 4 years. So
seems optimistic.
It does. It feels like wishful thinking, but it's also, it's really not the end of the world. Like if you can get him to play that many games.
Well, they've got Brock Holt. They've got Su-Wei Lin who can play at that position.
And so Pedroia even now is better than those guys, but it's not like it's Mookie Betts who might only play 100 games
or
JD Martinez. It's not that. It's Pedroia who you just won the World Series without.
Yep.
So I look at him as kind of a bonus. Like anything you can get out of him is a bonus. I wouldn't rely on the 120 games. I mean, this is also the same organization that went into a season saying, Pablo Sandoval is our third baseman. We're all set. We're going to trade Travis Shaw and Pablo Sandoval. So things can change pretty quickly.
All right. So what worries you more? The fact that Dombrowski is hopeful that Dustin Pedroia can play 120 to 125 games, or the fact that Dave Dombrowski says the Red Sox closer is on the roster right now?
What? Did they?
No, they did not sign Craig.
They didn't sneaky sign Craig Kimbrell and tell anybody?
They didn't sneaky sign him.
So he's saying that the closer is on the roster? I don't like that, Dale. I don't like that. Now, Eovaldi is
Ryan
a starter.
Ryan Brazier, Matt Barnes. No.
It probably would be him, right?
Not even Joe Kelly. He's in L.A.
If you had to put a guy there right now, say opening day, they have a 4-3 game going into the ninth. You have the lead. Who's pitching the ninth inning?
Opening day.
Yeah. It's a nice, beautiful day for a ball game.
Matt Barnes.
I think that's probably who they would go to.
I
hate that. I hate it. I think it's terrible. I think this team is way too good to sort of just toss your hands up in the ninth inning and say, hey, like, let's hope this guy can do it. He's never done it before. We have a World Series team in front of us, and the lineup, World Series caliber. The rotation, World Series caliber. The bullpen, what?
Pretty good.
It's fine. It's
fine.
So
you get to the back, and then you've got a huge question
mark. That's what you need. That's what you're missing right now is that last guy. And I know
Chris Sale today, by the way, said... I'm paraphrasing it. He said, I'm shocked that Craig Kimbrell isn't signed.
Yeah, join the club by here. I mean, I know there's still some thought that St. Louis or Atlanta could be interested in Craig Kimbrell, but that is also par for the course now, the baseball offseason. Craig Kimbrell, best closer available. Bryce Harper, Manny Machado, the two best everyday players available. Nothing.
Still out there.
Nothing on any of those guys. It really, it's embarrassing for baseball. Like, there's no exciting offseason. Think about, like, the NBA offseason. Once guys can get going, star guys, it's that first week. They're all writing Players Tribune stuff. They're talking to Lee Jenkins. Like, it's immediate. Baseball, there's going to be spring training games being played, and Manny Machado and Bryce Harper are going to be not on a team still. Like, what is that? And Craig Kimbrell, I think, so those two guys were never going to be on the Red Sox anyway. So who cares? I guess if you want to say, you know, focus on the Red Sox, why isn't Kimbrell back here? Why can't you sign Craig Kimbrell?
Because and by the way, not just here, because apparently nobody wants to pay him what he thinks he's worth.
No, true. And so at
so
what
has
point
he
does
just
he...
overpriced himself to such a degree that if you're Dave Dombrowski, why would I do that?
Yeah, on the one hand he has, but I feel like these guys will eventually get their money. Like they're playing this long game of chicken, but they do get paid. Now, maybe Harper's not going to get $400 million, or Machado's not going to get $400
million. Apparently not.
But they're still going to get a ton of money. But don't you hate the idea of going into a season without a closer? I understand once you get to the playoffs, you can do the thing where you did last year, and you can have starters closing games, and Eovaldi, and Price, and Sale, and all that stuff. No, I said in the playoffs.
Yeah. Oh, no, in the playoffs, yes.
But don't you hate that they don't have a closer?
Yes. And by the way, a texter says Eovaldi's the closer. No, he's not.
Not that price. I mean, I think he could do it, but you're paying him to be a starter.
You may ultimately have to do that if you're going, oh, this Brazier thing didn't work out. Oh, this Barnes thing didn't work out.
But then you overpaid
when
him.
When he signed here,
yeah,
he signed as a starter.
Yeah. What was it, $17 million a year or whatever he got? It was a ton of money, and that's not...
And he said, yeah, you know, I signed here as a starter.
Right, and he's going to be a starter, and he's in your rotation. He's one of your five guys in your rotation. And now you're just leaving it to Matt Barnes or Ryan Brazier or Tyler freaking Thornburg to be your closer. That seems like a huge mistake. And the way the playoff format is, you get win the wild card, you have to play in a one-game play-in. The Yankees look pretty good. And so if you cough up a couple of games, not that closers are ever 100%, but if Matt Barnes blows a couple of games earlier in the season, that might be the difference on whether or not you're playing in the play-in game or you have home field advantage throughout. It could be as razor thin as that, because I think I would expect the Yankees to win over 100 games.
How much do you think this is negotiating on the part of Dombrowski? In other words, he'd like to bring Kimbrell back. Kimbrell's being very unrealistic with what he's looking for, he and his agent, whoever it is. And that, you know, because Alex Cora also said this when he spoke yesterday. It's like, you know, I'm not worried about the closer. We'll figure that out. Now you have Dombrowski saying, the closer's on the roster now. Where if Craig Kimbrell does want to come back, is he saying to his agent, all right, look, I know we said we wanted $100 million. We're not going to get that.
Yeah, I would hope that it's negotiating. And I think a lot of times GMs and team presidents right now will say things. I mean, they'll pretty much lie to you. And they should. That's part of the job. Like, didn't the Yankees for a while say no on Machado and Harper? And, like, I didn't believe that at all. Like, those guys haven't signed yet. The Yankees are always a player. They're always going to be a factor in those kind of things. So maybe that's what he's trying to say. But if you are Craig Kimbrell, his agent is David Meter. If you're one of these guys, don't you look at him and say, oh, you're really going with Barnes? Okay, we'll call your bluff. I mean, that'd be the easiest bluff to call. Like, okay, all right, let's go. This guy who's never been a closer.
Yeah, but I wonder how much his client is going to want to sit there. You
that's
know,
in really
April
tough.
And May, and watching, you know, Barnes or Brazier. I mean, he's not gonna remain unsigned at the start of the season, is he?
I don't know. I mean, you would hope not, but the way baseball is, I think it's got to be easier for Kimbrel too. He's not the only big name free agent that's sitting out there. Like, I mean, Bryce Harper. There hasn't been this is one of the biggest free agents of the last decade, and he's still sitting out there. So, don't you think it's easier for those guys to look around and say, "Hey, it's not just a me problem." It's all these guys are waiting. You know, Verlander was tweeting about it the other day, saying just how stupid this is. You have all these guys. Like, there's dozens of really good players.
How much responsibility do the players bear, though, for just pricing themselves exorbitantly out of the market? That teams are saying, look, I love Bryce Harper. Love everything about him.
Yeah.
What, $400 million?
Yeah.
No thanks.
But then doesn't a team eventually cave in, though? Isn't that usually what happens?
That's what's happened.
Yeah. So, I mean, until all the teams take a real firm stance, I think it has a lot to do with the teams. It's two-sided, for sure. I mean, they need to agree on some sort of a deal. Some of them, the expectations are probably a little too high for the players. But when more often than not they end up getting that money, they've just prepared themselves to have a free agency period that takes 5 months. That's outrageous. Like, they open this thing up. You remember players used to sign by like Christmas or even like Thanksgiving? I feel like it was that, like, that's how long ago or how early in the calendar, like the off-season calendar, that players used to sign. Now you're talking about Valentine's Day, St. Patrick's Day. Like, what are we doing here?
And it's going to happen again. I mean, Harper and Machado are sitting there, as you say, unsigned. Kimbrel's the best closer available. He's unsigned.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even close.
Yeah, there are other guys, too. There are other, like, you know, solid players. And it's funny because the initial reports were, hey, Craig Kimbrel's going to sort of set the closer market, and then other guys are going to sign. Not true. Other guys have already signed. You know, the Yankees went and got Adam Ottavino. They gave him a good chunk of change. Other teams have gone out there, gotten late-inning guys, and they said, all right, we're not involved in the Kimbrel thing. We're going to set our own prices.
All right, let me give you one other piece of news, not Red Sox-related, but related to what we were discussing earlier. The Celtics say Kyrie Irving is out against the Detroit Pistons.
All right, so tonight, well, he couldn't play last night against Philly, so I guess that makes
he's
sense.
Out.
He's out.
Now,
he's out tonight.
The question becomes, does he play over the weekend in the All-Star game? My guess is he goes, but he doesn't play.
Yeah, that'd be my guess. Or I think we've seen guys do this in the past where they play because he was voted in. Like, so the fans voted him in. He's on the team. He goes, starts, plays five real lazy minutes, that's what the first quarter is, or the first 3.5 quarters anyway in the All-Star game, jogs up and down the court, then takes a seat and is done for the game.
See, I think it's a real bad look. If you're a Celtics fan and Kyrie Irving's knee doesn't allow him to play against Philadelphia, doesn't allow him to play against Detroit, and you're out there for five lazy minutes in a meaningless exhibition game, that's a real bad look if you're a Celtics fan.
Well, he better play the next night or the next time they play. He better play full go. What, against Milwaukee, I think, is the next game? You can't play and then, because, so tonight's Wednesday, the All-Star game's not until Sunday, so it's not like
right.
He's playing the All-Star game on a Thursday night, so there is time in between, but he's going to have a real conversation with Brad Stevens and the trainer on whether or not they let him go do that.
I do have exciting news for you from Chris Forsberg.
Okay.
Terry Rozier, also doubtful. He's got an illness tonight. So according to Chris Forsberg, it could be the Brad Wanamaker show tonight.
I like Brad Wanamaker. Solid little player.
Not sure I could pick him out of a police lineup.
Sure you could.
Unless he's wearing that number nine jersey.
Yeah, he looks good.
If he's got his jersey on, I might be able to.
He has crisp bounce passes. He shuffles on defense.
You just made this all up.
No, he's a good player. That's the scouting report.
No, the
Wanamaker.
Crisp bounce pass.
He does. Look for it tonight. Nice crisp bounce pass from Brad Wanamaker.
Could be a big Brad Wanamaker night for you.
I think it could be.
617-779-7937. Right back to the calls with you coming up next. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We are the smartest, most intelligent show in Boston. Just ask us.
I like stats. I'm a stat guy. Vorp, very important to me.
And I include almost everybody on this radio station and almost everybody on that radio station. They don't know.
Now back to Dale and Keith on WEEI.
(617) 779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line 37937. So no Kyrie. Maybe, possibly no Terry Rozier. He's got an illness situation. Kyrie, obviously, with the injured knee that he suffered Saturday.
Yeah, and the game against the Clippers. Yep.
So now does he go to the All-Star game this weekend?
Oh, boy. He's definitely going to be there.
I mean, he'll go.
LeBron took him. You know, second overall or second, his second pick, third overall. So he's not going to let LeBron down. He's going to have to be there. He'll gut it out for him.
He won't let Braun down. He won't let Braun.
He gets a chance to play with Braun, Kevin Durant, Anthony Davis. He's not going to miss that for the world.
617-779-7937. John's on the cell. Hey, John.
Hey, Dale. You stole my thunder a little bit before the break. That's exactly what I was getting the call about. That, you know, Kyrie wants to play in that game. And it's going to look so bad, I think, if he missed these games, yet he's there playing in a meaningless game. But my question is, since it's the league's premier showcase of the superstars, can the Celtics prevent him from participating?
I don't think so.
Prevent?
I don't think they can prevent him. They could probably encourage him not to.
Well, the only way they could is if the Celtics team doctor said, hey, he can't play.
Yeah, if it was something like that.
I told you he couldn't play Wednesday. I'm telling you he can't play Sunday either. Now, that could happen.
There's also a difference, and I think it would be a bad look. I'm with you, Dale. It'd be a bad look if he showed up and played, but there's a major difference between playing 30 minutes against the 76ers in the regular season and 5 to 8 minutes in an All-Star game. I mean, you're jogging up and down the court for a while, and then you can get him out of there. It's happened before. You can pull up old All-Star game logs where there are guys that maybe even a coach says to the coach, hey, why don't you just kind of watch his minutes if you don't mind? Like, he's dealing with something,
and then
they really limit it. But as of right now, we haven't heard anything about a replacement for him or anything. So right this second, it looks like he's still going.
In the NHL, when you got to the All-Star game, Alex Ovechkin said, listen, I'm worried about the second half of the season. I want to make sure that I'm healthy for my team. I'm going to skip the All-Star game. And the NHL, in its infinite wisdom, says, if you're not hurt and don't go to the All-Star game, we're going to suspend you for a game.
That is so dumb.
Just idiotic.
It's so dumb.
But could it be that Kyrie Irving says and comes out and says, hey, listen, guys, I got to concentrate on getting healthy here. I got to be ready for my team. You know, I got to get myself ready for the, you know, what's left of the regular season. I can't go to the All-Star game.
Based on what you know of Kyrie
Probably
Irving.
Probably not. Yeah. I was trying to come up with something.
Which way? Well, I'd love to see you guys at the All-Star game, but I'm the only one who made it. So I'm going to go by myself. Although I think Jason Tatum's in the skills competition. So Jason Tatum will be at All-Star weekend, and he's in the rookie sophomore game, I think,
yes,
or the Rising Stars Challenge. But as far as the actual game, it's just Kyrie. And I bet he ends up playing in it. That'd be my guess.
Oh, that is, see, going, I got no issues with.
Yeah, oh, he's going to go. Everything, yeah, a lot of the guys go.
I have no problems with that.
But playing,
you know,
after
get introduced.
Two games?
Yeah, you're wearing your really slick suit up on that runway
there.
You look
real nice.
You know, you're waving. Got no issues with any of that. If he does play.
Oh, yeah, it is a bad look.
That's not going to look good.
What
at
are you
all.
Doing? The rest of the guys are watching him. Be like, okay, so he can play with LeBron and Durant and Davis, but he couldn't play with us in a game that counts. Got it. Well, you think Jaylen Brown's going to take a mental note of that if he
Do
plays?
You
think he might remember that a little bit? Yikes.
I'm desperately waiting to see what either the Celtics or Kyrie Irving say next.
It does sum up the Celtics season where even the All-Star game, there's going to be drama concerning the Celtics. Like, if he doesn't play in it, that might be a good step to, hey, this is the most important thing to me. We're going to come back. All-Star game, that's nice, but guess what? I'll go back next year. I care about getting healthy and finishing the season strong and making a run in the playoffs. or he's out there yucking it up with LeBron, throwing alley-oops to Anthony Davis, then it's that's going to be hard to defend.
In Ovechkin's case, he wasn't even hurt. He just
he's wanted to sit
it out. He just said, listen, I'm worn out. You know, they had a cup run last year. I want to make sure that I'm ready to go for my team. I want to rest up, get ready.
It was like Manny Ramirez.
Says, yeah, we're going to sit you down.
It was like Manny every year. Didn't go to the All-Star game. He was healthy. Just didn't want to go.
He had another grandmother who passed away. No, that was spring training.
She sadly passed.
The late arrivals for spring training were the 8 times that his grandmother died.
Correct.
Craig's in Plymouth. Hey, Craig, how you doing?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. What's going on?
Just a question. Mookie Betts said he was going to monitor Bryce Harper's contract.
Yes.
What do you think that means for him going forward? Do you think he's going to do the same, or do you think he'll sign the season?
No. I think he's going to wait to become a free agent and have everybody bid on him and say, see what Bryce Harper made? I'm better than him, so I want more than that. That's my guess.
Right, but do you think he'll sign, or he'll have to wait until spring training to get his contract?
So he's still under...
Now,
Okay. Well, he's still under... This isn't his last year. He's got another year after this.
No, I understand. I get that. But I'm just saying, this is what it's been for the last 2 or 3 seasons now, so...
Oh, yeah. So I would predict the same, wouldn't you?
What's that?
I would predict the same thing.
But, I mean, you think he would want to do that? Or, I mean, I don't know the guy, but just saying.
Yeah, I don't know if these guys... I don't know if they want to do it. They just think they're worth a certain price, and they're holding out, and they're like, well, these teams are going to need me more than I need these teams, and... Mookie Betts in a couple of years is going to be looking at $400 million. If he plays the way he did, I'm not saying he has to win 3 straight MVPs, but if he plays like this, he's hitting the market at the right time. Although, so is Bryce Harper and Manny Machado. Those guys are young free agents because they broke into the majors at such a young age that they're going to look to cash in. And if it means you have to sign at the end of February, which is outrageous, but if that's the way the league is going, then that's what he'll probably do.
Here are some numbers just to keep in mind about Bryce Harper. It would appear that the Nationals have withdrawn their 10-year, $300 million offer that they originally had for Bryce Harper.
$300 is not bad.
The Giants apparently kind of got at least peripherally interested in Harper, although what they said was, you know, we'd like to sign you to less than this long-term deal, something, you know, huge average annual value, but not a 10-year type of deal. According to John Heyman of the MLB Network, Bryce Harper is, quote, not signing or even considering short-term deals. So don't come to me with some, you know, I'll give you 3 years at $40 million a year. No.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't do that either. Like, just do these short-term
take a chance
deals.
Of something happening.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think he hit it at the right time. Was he 25 or whatever he is? Like, cash in. Make all the money now. They're giving out 10-year deals. Take the 10-year deal. Although, he's looking at more 400 than $300 million, I suppose. But maybe he has to settle for 320.
And there will be, you know, opt-in, opt-out things. Whenever it eventually gets done, he'll be able to opt out after year 5, after year 7, after year 9. Yeah, I mean, they always do that.
All club or all player options, right? Like, just J.D. Martinez has in his
Alex
deal.
Rodriguez, the most famous of them all.
Oh, yeah, he did. Sabathia did when he went with the Yankees, right? A lot of these guys a couple years in. Well, hell, David Price. I mean, guys, they have the options, and you're wondering.
And
if
everybody
they take
wanted
them.
Him to take his option and leave. No, I'm staying. I like it here.
Although he finished strong, I think everybody is.
They kind of liked the end.
It did come across a whole lot better. Betts this year. Remember the news with him is they gave him the $20 million. You know, they fought over,
which was a huge deal.
They fought over $3 million the year before with their best player, and then this year they doubled his salary. So clearly, there was a change in heart on how good they think Mookie Betts is, or just his value. Or they also saw, well, in a couple of years when we're negotiating with him, do we really want to go through arbitration 2 straight years, or do we want to be on his good side so when he becomes a free agent, we can hopefully sign him?
617-779-7937. So we've got a couple of things that we've been talking about. Now that we know Kyrie didn't play last night and is not playing against Detroit, does he show up over the weekend? Going there doesn't bother me. He's an all-star. That's fine.
Oh, yeah, they all go.
Does he show up and play?
Does he start the all-star game on Sunday?
And for Celtics fans who have been a bit ambivalent, some, not you, but some have been a bit ambivalent about, you know, how important is he to the Celtics going forward anyway. Sometimes they look better when he's not here. What's that group going to say if he shows up and is playing, like you said, throwing lob passes to Anthony Davis?
Well, even the people who love Kyrie Irving, which I feel like there's less than there was a couple weeks ago, but even the people who still love him, I don't know how you spin that as it's good. I'm not saying he's definitely going to get hurt, but just more the message that it sends. Even if it's 10 minutes or 5 minutes in an all-star game, just, okay, so you can play with these guys, but you couldn't play with us. I know there's a few days in between, but still, you miss back-to-back games, and one of them against Philly. Like, that's a big game. Detroit sucks, but still, back-to-back games going into the break, you want to go in on a hot streak after what happened in L.A., and then he plays in that. It's not going to be good.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.